It's time to drink some gin.
Oh, best day of the week. What a good excuse to drink midweek. It's very healthy. It's very normal. We love Tuesday Booze Day.
And we're not just going to drink. We're going to taste it. We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to find out about it. So we only need a little bit of a tasting. And then we can save the rest for Friday when we can drink it long and leisurely and enjoy the Friday talking about the topic. So that's what we're going to do. We are going to taste that gin.
Should Tuesday warm up?
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday warm-up. We're just getting ready for the Friday. We're just having a little taste. And Emma's going to join us and tell us all about it.
Exactly. With the guest. So we can taste their gin, find out what we're drinking on Friday. And that gives you the opportunity to go and buy some if you want to join us in drinking it on Friday night.
Oh, very fancy.
Hey. We could taste gin today.
Woohoo!
Gin, gin, gin.
Boom, boom, boom.
And I need one.
Oh,
do
no.
Do you? A lot of gin.
A lot of gin. All the gin.
Oh, well, that's okay. Let's hope it's a good one. Really hope it's a good one.
I hope so. If not, I'll be very upset.
I'm here for all of your gin needs.
So this week we are drinking... So I want to say Caorun... because that's how it's spelt, C-A-O-R-U-N-N. But looking on the website, it's pronounced Caorun.
So it's Gaelic, Scottish, so Caorun.
Exactly. I love
roll
it.
Roll the R.
Caorun. Well, that sounds all the more better to drink, doesn't it?
Perfect.
Exactly. Any excuse.
Not just a Caorun. Can I have a Caorun, please? It's, can I have a Caorun?
Exactly. You
know, it's much more of a pick-me-up.
As somebody who cannot do a Scottish accent or roll her R's, I'm leaving this one to you guys.
You're not even going to have a little try with it?
No, I'm not, because it will end up being the snippet that we use to promote the episode.
Oh, damn, you didn't fall into my trap.
I've got Y's now.
So we are drinking Caorun with Dr. Carol Helfter. And we're going to talk swamp methane, but hopefully this gin isn't going to taste like swamp methane, because I can't think that Shrek's farts are going to taste very nice in a gin.
I really hope it doesn't.
I mean, Shrek was Scottish though, wasn't he? So, you never know.
Oh my God, he was. It's all making sense now. Oh, it's all coming together.
On the botanical list.
Shrek's farts.
Shrek's farts.
A tenuous link we didn't realise would exist, but in some way, with our guest and our topic and our gin, it's all come together.
Ideal.
We've made it. So, Emma, can I please, please, please open the gin?
Yes. Please, yay! Please, please, please open the gin.
So, Carol, welcome to the tasting room, and we are going to be drinking Caorun. See, I have to keep... saying it in this jolly way, Caorun gin. Tell us a bit more about why you've chosen it whilst we open the gin and pour it into our glasses, Anya.
So the reason Caorun was chosen is because it's got a connection with methane. And the Caorun distillery uses biomethane to power the operations of the distillery. And the quirky thing about it is that this biomethane is actually produced from the byproducts of the distilling process. So it's a sort of a circular, you know, usage of the methane. And the reason the methane is interesting is because this is what I study. That's what I do for a job.
Excellent. Nice. I love it. It's an ethical gin as well. I love
very
that
cool.
It ticks all my boxes.
Ethical. Sarah's like, yes, I love it.
It links with the topic. It's ethical. Hopefully it tastes good too. Emma, tell us more.
So Caorun is made up in Scotland, which why you have to roll your R's. It's 41.8% ABV. It's made at the Balmenick Distillery, so they're a whiskey distillery. So Caorun is actually quite a old gin as far as gins go. It was 2009, which is when you get brands like Sipsmith coming onto the market. So the guys up at Caorun, I actually know them quite well because they took me on my first ever press trip. So they will always have a very close place in my heart. I went up and saw Simon, the distiller, and everybody. And basically he was like, I spend all my days tasting whiskey that someone distilled however many years ago. or making whiskey that someone, however many years in the future, will be tasting as it ages in the barrels. Whereas gin, I get to take alcohol, infuse it with botanicals, taste it straight away and enjoy it. So not only a, probably a clever business move, but a nice kind of creative outlet, I think, in a very different way from making whiskey. So he'd only just started, you know, doing all of this, and he was absolutely loving it, which was great. It is a Scottish gin. There are 11 botanicals, five of them. So those of you that have got the bottle, you'll notice there's a five-pointed star on the lid. And on the bottom of the bottle, there's like 5 points of a star.
Oh, there is on the base.
It's very cool, isn't it?
Really cool. And so it's a Scottish gin.
Yeah.
Are we expecting something that isn't a London dry then? What makes a Scottish gin?
Well, that is the only thing. So, it's made in Scotland. The five botanicals that represent the points of the star are all locally foraged from around the area of the distillery. And then they complement that with six classic gin botanicals. But, you know, you talk about all of this and it's all very interesting. I still think Carún, if I'm going to put it taste-wise, with no background as a brand, if I taste it, it is very traditional and very classic.
Yay! My kind of gin. Happy days.
So it should be good.
I mean, it's a brilliant gin. It's really, really delicious. It is fresh and clean and bright and smooth. I just wish maybe... I guess they were very early in the gin kind of movement, so they were wanting to show that the Scots could do it just as well as everybody else and didn't want to go too out there. But yeah, I mean, have a smell.
Okay.
Definitely juniper forward.
So I've got it neat in my lovely, lovely Carún glass that came with my gin.
Got it in a little bottle.
Swirling it around.
I've got mine in one of mum's sherry glasses. I'm very fancy today.
That is very fancy. Little cut glass sherry. I like it.
So you can get the juniper on the nose, you get a bit of citrus, a bit of floral. And then if you taste it, if you can taste it neat first, but you don't have to, the any dilution of any tonic or something will open it up. You've got juniper in there, you've got citrus, you've got a little bit of cinnamon, maybe notes, black pepper on the end.
Yeah, you get the pepper.
But yeah, it is very traditional gin. Whereas if we're going to talk about the botanicals, so classic juniper, coriander, angelica, two types of citrus, lemon and orange. Cassia, which is giving that cinnamon note. It's very cinnamony, cinnamon. Mm-hmm. But then these five Scottish botanicals. You've got rowanberry, heather, cowblush apple, dandelion and bog myrtle.
So another little swamp connection.
There we go.
With a bog.
Boggy.
Like it.
The bog myrtle actually gives kind of a nice sweet aroma to the gin. But yeah, they're those five kind of Scottish botanicals. They're dealt with very delicately overall, I would say, and come together very harmoniously. As I say, to create a gin that is freaking delicious and very traditional, but actually has a very strong link to not only Scotland, but the area in Scotland that they distill.
Well, I've mixed into a very lovely traditional G&T with a little bit of lemon. Thoughts incoming.
I'm just opening my can.
Okay, well, I'm going in there because I couldn't decide. So I've got some lime, I've got some lemon, and I've got some orange. I haven't gone with any other herbs or anything, just my citrus. So what should I add, Emma?
So when they started, it was also around the time that everyone was like, oh, we're going to have a signature garnish because there weren't that many gins around. So you could get away with it. Yeah. So Hendrix and the cucumber, Givine, a gin from Cognac, were like grapes because we have a grape-based spirit because we're obviously in the home of grapes. Mm-hmm. Carún said apple because they have the cowblush apple in there. It's actually the most northerly growing apple, which is cool. Very small little thing.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, but it didn't really take off. I think it's very nice. I think it's just people were like, well, it's a traditional gin, so let's put something traditional in it, lemon or lime.
Yeah, true. I haven't got any apples, so I can't even run off and cut some.
I like it with a nice, like, tart, like Granny Smith. And then when you finish your gin tonic.
Or a cooking apple type.
Yeah, but when you finished, if you've got Granny Smith or something like that, you can then eat the apple and it's all infused with the gin and tonic and that's all very delicious.
Nice.
Well, I think it's lovely mix.
It's really good, isn't it?
Personally, I'm a fan.
It is a very, very beautiful gin.
I've gone with all three in the end because I've got all three.
I mean,
so
why
I put all three in.
Sometimes, Sarah, you just go crazy.
What do you think, Carol?
I think it's lovely. But the thing, I must say that I... be sampled.
Nice.
I mean, you know, just for scientific purposes.
Of course.
But I came into this, so mine was mixed already. And I went for a tonic, which is pomelo and pink pepper.
Oh, lovely.
Ooh, nice.
First time I bought it, and it works really, really well. The pink pepper really adds a sort of like bit of a kick, sort of spiciness to it, which is nice.
Yeah, I imagine it kind of probably amplifies that black pepper note I was getting on the finish of the gin and really whacks that up with a bit of dilution in the bubbles as well. So that's lovely.
Nice. And I always love that excuse of doing things for scientific reasons anyway. You know, yeah, we just need to do the research, need to be able to get that done. And that means that we can have plenty of gin.
Well, I have another little bottle here from Sarah for science so that, you know, if I run out at any point in the conversation we have later / Friday, I can keep drinking.
I mean, you've come prepared.
It's very, very true. So it lengthens into a really good gin tea.
It's really damn good, isn't it? Everything you want from a gin and tonic. That kind of citrus lift, the slight spice and pepper on the end, plenty of juniper. Very happy with a classic tonic.
It's really good.
I really want to try it with the pink pepper tonic now. That's going to be the next one.
Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with that. I want to try
that. I like that idea. And also with apples, is there anything else that we should be doing that isn't a gin and tonic with it? Or should we just keep it pure because it is really tasty?
I mean, you can turn it. We've talked about things as well, you know, using apple juice and then tonic water, or apple juice and soda as your lengthener, or turning it into a hot mulled apple is quite nice in winter with all the spices and things. But in general, with Karun, you don't need to. It'll work in anything because it's, you know, quite classic in style and flavour. Any kind of classic cocktail, it will be very, very happy with and happy in. But yeah, nice and easy, I think. You could try an apple teeny. That could be fun.
Nice.
Let's bring the apple teeny back. Delicious.
Ooh. Okay. How would we do an apple teeny?
Oh, you have to get all apple liqueur-y and all that. And it's bright green. It's not really a martini, but it's very fun.
But it's bright green and looks like swamp. So it could be quite good.
I didn't even realise. Yes, perfect.
So we need some apple teenies and then we can talk swamps and maybe a little, I don't know, a nice cube shaped as Shrek with his head and ears, and then put that in the apple teeny, even though you shouldn't have ice in your apple teeny. But hey, let's make it all swampy.
Well, as we said, Shrek's Scottish, the gin's Scottish. Brilliant. It's all coming together beautifully.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Excellent. Great choice of gin. Thank you, Carol.
Cheers, Carol.
Cheers.
And thank you, Emma, for all your knowledge.
Pleasure. And I'm very excited to learn more about swamps when I finally get to listen.
Well, that was the gin thoroughly tasted.
I feel like I've tasted it perhaps a little too much, and Tuesday Brewsday might turn into Wine Wednesday tomorrow.
Well, you've got to save some of that gin for Friday when we can have the rest of the conversation with our guest.
I'm looking forward to it.
At least we've tasted and we know what it is that we're drinking and we know why we're drinking it. And then we could just relax with the topic.
Oh, I can't wait. Sarah, in the meantime, if people need a bit more gin and topic before their Friday, where can they find us?
Oh, they can find us on social media at Topic Gin.
Lovely.
Or they could head over to our website. We're ginandtopic.com. And if they don't want to wait till Friday, they can always go and listen to some past episodes whilst they're waiting.
Brilliant. Love it. We'll see you Friday.
See you then.